All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we're so thankful for this time we spend together. We're thankful for the privilege of gathering and encouraging one another and praying for one another. Father, we thank you for the praises that have been mentioned. We're thankful that Beth is home. We're thankful that Robert Lee's surgery is going well. I thank you for the good news about Paige standing up and singing. And we do pray, Father, that that she surrenders her heart to you. We thank you for blessing Carolyn through her surgery, having her spots removed. And we pray you'll continue to heal her body and protect her from any further issues with that. And we pray you'll continue to bless Ashley, continue to draw her to yourself. We thank you for the opportunity that Sam is seeing in her family. And we pray, Lord, that indeed her family would come to Christ. We're joining Sam in that prayer, and we just pray you'll move in her family in a mighty way. Lord, we thank you for taking care of Chrissy's uncle. We're thankful, Lord, that his time of suffering is over. He's home with you, and he's rejoicing and feeling no more pain. And we pray, Father, that you will continue to bless his family and comfort them and give them peace. Lord, we thank you for blessing Adam and Kirsta. And we pray, Father, that you will keep mom and baby safe and healthy. We pray you'll guide them through this difficult pregnancy. Please give them what they need. And help them to not be anxious. And please continue to bless Delton at his rehab. We thank you for Micah and Nicholas being here today. Father, we pray that your will be done in their lives, that they would be in the church, that you want them to be where they can pour out their lives for your glory. We thank you that today they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that Derek's going back to work this week. Thank you for seeing him through his recovery, and we pray you'll continue to strengthen his leg and continue, please, to provide for him and his family. And Lord, we want to pray for Irene, that you will help her with the issue she's having with her hip. Father, we pray that that you will protect her from any further pain, any further issues with what's taking place with her hip. And we do pray that one of her doctors, somebody, will be willing to give her what she needs. And we know, God, you can heal her. And we pray for her healing. We pray for her protection. And Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. And we know you're able to do more than we can even ask or think. And so we trust you. And we love you. We're so thankful, God, for your work in our lives. I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your continued forgiveness, God, when we fall short, and we thank you for helping us to rise up again. We love you so much. And Father, I pray you'll bless this time now as we read and study your word together. Father, we pray that you will speak to our hearts. Help us to grow. Help us to mature in Christ. And as you do that, God, we're going to give you all the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Proverbs chapter 10, starting at verse 8. Really bit off more than I probably can chew. Today we're going to read verse 8 through 32. I'm not trying to show off. Just trying to... Well, sometimes there's just one thing that just is brought to your attention you can focus on. Sometimes not. Each of these lessons, it's amazing how different they seem to be. But starting at verse 8, let's go for it. Proverbs 10, verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. You may have noticed a theme in there. Most of this section is about your speech, about your mouth. So we're going to try to go through, verse by verse, and just try to give the sense of it, and whatever else you guys want to add, if you have questions. Almost 30 verses, I'm going to go fast. Here we go. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. The wise know that it's more important to listen than it is to talk. That word prating, a prating fool is babbling, like a babbling brook, which can have a nice sound to it when you're listening to it, but that's not what this is talking about. This a fool, he just keeps on talking and will not listen. It's the kind of person who, instead of listening to the person talking to them, they're already putting together what they're going to say, right? And they're not really listening to what you're trying to tell them. They can't stop giving their opinion about everything. They don't stop long enough to listen. It says the wise in heart, which is better than being wise in your own eyes. That's the difference between these two guys. You have one who's wise in heart. His wisdom is coming from a heart that God has changed, where the prating fool is a guy who's wise in his own eyes. The wise, they welcome learning. They seek it, they listen for it, and they hold on to it. Fools, they don't want to be told what to do. They don't like it when you try to give them advice. It's not a good way to live. There's another proverb that says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It's good to listen to people and get advice. Doing okay so far? Verse 9, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Either way, a person will show you who they are by their actions. A person who receives wisdom, like verse 8 says, is a person who obeys wisdom. And you'll see this come out in their integrity. And their integrity protects them from the trouble that comes from making foolish decisions. And you think about life before Christ, at least my life before Christ, making foolish decisions, all it did was bring trouble into my life. Now, living in this world, there's naturally a trouble that comes to us, but what we're talking about here is avoiding the trouble that you bring upon yourself. You're secure. Instead of fool, he exposes himself as a fool. And as we see in many other verses, he brings trouble to himself. Not only that, walking in wisdom, walking in God's wisdom, we also have the promise of divine protection. We may have talked about this before, but you don't know. We have no idea how much God protects us from things just because we're walking with him. You know, nothing can come into your life unless God allows it to happen. And whatever he does allow, he's using for good, right? It's easy to say that, much more difficult to believe that when something is going on. But that is the truth. There's a security from walking with Christ. Psalm 18:30 is a verse I like about that. Psalm 18:30 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." Security. The fool, the thing he doesn't realize, is that he's going to be exposed. The fool thinks he's hiding things. But when you're a fool, you don't realize that people around you who have wisdom, they can see it all. You're not really hiding anything. As the Bible says, your sin will find you out. Okay, let's keep going. Everybody's doing okay. "He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall." So here you have the prating fool. He's the guy who doesn't stop talking, okay? But here, this other guy, he may not talk as much, but he gives himself away with his actions. The example given is the wink. But all this is saying is that this person will say one thing and do another. They say one thing and they do another. And their life still is causing trouble, just as the fool. The word I came across when I was studying is these guys are mischievous. Mischievous. They're always the winking guy. He's always up to something. You know people like that? When you're around them, it's just like there's something going on. Something's not right. There are many people who say one thing and do another. The Bible says that you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. You have false teachers, false prophets, you know, who say one thing and they do another. Real simple example. There are people who try to say that God doesn't want anyone to be sick ever. Right? God only wants everyone to be healed. And the most recent guy I saw say that, he wears glasses, just like me. And I wonder why his eyes aren't healed. That's sneaky. It's deception. But if you're paying attention, you can catch it. How can he say that while he's wearing glasses? Sneaky. Jesus told us to watch out for people who say one thing and do not do it themselves. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The righteous, they speak the things that build other people up. The words that they speak have value. They nourish other people. Nourishing words, valuable words. It says down a little bit later in verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The things that the righteous say are valuable to you, to your life, because they build you up in the faith. He speaks things that heal, not the things that hurt. The words are nourishing and refreshing. I have a whole bunch of scriptures here that talk about healing. Like Proverbs 12:18, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." Spiritual health, right? The things that bring healing to your soul, to your spirit. 15:4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." See the difference there? You have the power to speak things that are healing, promote life, promote spiritual health, or you can break people down and discourage them. Let's look at another verse that's taken out of context all the time. Proverbs 18, verse 21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you have the power to just say anything and make it happen? No, it means you have the power to encourage or you have the power to discourage. You think about a parent to a child. You know, that parent, when the child makes mistakes, the child is growing up and learning and making mistakes, that parent can sit there and point at them and tell them how stupid they are, or they can help them to understand why they made a mistake, teach them how to do it the right way, teach them about forgiveness, the things that promote life and promote health. Or you can discourage them to the point that they're miserable and depressed. That's the power that you have. You have that power in your tongue to build up or to tear down, which is why we should choose our words carefully. There's one thing you can never get back. It's the spoken word. Okay, let's take a test. Put myself out there. Are you ready? How many of you have ever said something you wish right away you could take back? Okay, phew. It's not just me. Yeah, man, it just hurts. Man, I should have never said that. I wish I would have never said that. Because those words have power. Okay, where were we? Oh, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. That's what we're talking about. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. That's the opposite side. That's the mouth that's harmful. The mouth that's divisive and discouraging and depressing, hurtful. Verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. This is still talking along the same lines. When you see someone who fails, okay, you have a choice to make. You can either go around and start stirring up trouble by telling everybody and talking about that person, or you can cover it up. The Bible says love covers sins. It doesn't go around gossiping about them. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? That's not love. You know why that's so destructive? People don't realize this, but when you talk about somebody else, you are tainting the way that person sees them. And you're causing division. The Bible calls it strife. That's what you're causing. You're putting this stuff in between people. It causes friction. It causes division. It causes quarreling. Love doesn't do that. The great example that comes to my mind every time I think about this, as soon as I read it this week, comes to mind, is when Noah got drunk after the flood, passed out in his tent. And the first one to find him was Ham, his son Ham. And the Bible says Ham saw his father's nakedness in his tent, and Ham came out and told his brothers. It's so underplayed by the scripture. He come out and he told his brothers. Well, the word told is kind of weak for what actually happened. He came out and he denounced his dad. That's what the word means. It was something very harmful and very harsh, because when Noah found out about it, you know, he cursed Canaan, who was Ham's kid or grandkid. We'll go read it in a second. But you remember what the other brothers did? The two other brothers, yep, they put a blanket between them, walked in backwards so they wouldn't see, and they covered it up. That's what we're talking about here. Hatred stirs up strife. What Ham did was revealed what was in his heart when he came out talking about his dad in the tent, outside the tent. And then the two other brothers revealed what was in their heart, the way they covered it up. That's the example. Now I'm going to read it for you, just to make sure I didn't mess it up. Genesis 9. Verse 20, and Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. Now, I don't think we should ever call Noah a drunk, okay? Because you know, before the flood, we were told Noah walked with God. He was perfect in his generations, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is a man of God, but here he messed up, but he wasn't a drunk. New Testament says drunkards won't inherit the kingdom of God. He wasn't a drunk, but he messed up here for some reason. So then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. I just realized as I read that, even underselling it like this, it's still wrong that he came out and said something. Is everybody with me? Verse 23, but Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren." Prophecy, he spoke prophecy over his grandson. And I think there was, all of that gives us a clue. There were problems in that family. There were problems in that family. And he gave a prophecy about where it was headed.
Okay, so he was prophesying, not...
He didn't...
Getting these overwhelming angry emotions and cursing him.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
God gave him something. Okay.
Because Canaan...
I was going to say, that's mean.
That's, yeah, don't go around cursing your kids and grandkids.
Well, as a man of God, but he was...
There was something going on. He was prophesying. You know, Canaan, the land of Canaan, became extremely wicked. And that's where God came... somebody was telling me they were reading Joshua, and her notes on Joshua said, "Lots of killing." That's a note she put on that side, because when it was time for Israel to come into the land of Canaan, they were to destroy everyone there, all the Canaanites, because they were exceedingly wicked. They were exceedingly wicked. That's Canaan. And he exposed himself. Ham exposed what was in his heart because of what he did. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. And we're even told in 1 Peter chapter 4 that this is how we should live. 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8. "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins." Oh, I have this note from James. James 3, 5 says that the tongue is able to start a huge forest fire. A little kindling, a little talk can start a huge forest fire. I remember years ago at work, one time I said something to the person working next to me, and right in front of my eyes, I watched it spread all around the office as everybody told the next person, the next person, the next person. Then everybody was talking about it. It doesn't take much. Start a fire. Proverbs 10:13, "Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding." And verse 14, "Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." Same idea. Wisdom stores up knowledge and speaks it at the right time. Fools, they have no timing. Fools say the wrong thing at the wrong time and get themselves into trouble. Verse 15, "The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty." Someone I was reading was given the idea that this verse says, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You know, a person who has money, they're able to invest, they're able to plan for the future, things like that. But a poor person who's not able to do that, and one thing goes wrong, you know, they get a flat tire or something, they're already behind and they just get further behind. But I think that both of these guys are wrong in verse 15. Their statements are wrong. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. That's the wrong attitude to have. Because the rich man, he puts his trust in his money, and that's a problem. Jesus talked about that, because it's hard for a person to enter the kingdom of heaven who's trusting in their riches. They don't want to let them go. Their riches become their God. And on the other side, also, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. And this person has the wrong idea, too, that... that his life is less valuable because he doesn't have a lot of money. Because money is not the issue. The issue is wisdom and doing what is right. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is supposed to be our strong tower. That's who we're trusting in. The righteous run to it and they are safe. And the poor are called to learn to be content with what they have. We're taught not to worry about what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear, right? Because the ravens, you know, they don't have barns and they don't have fields, but God feeds them. And the lilies of the field, they're clothed by God, and you're more important. God will feed you and clothe you. We're told that to have food and clothing, we are to be content. So both of these guys have the wrong idea, that their value is found in how much money they have or don't have. Proverbs 19:1, Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. It's better to be poor. It's better to be poor than to be a fool. And then Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Oh, 28:6, sorry. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Better to be poor than to be a fool. Okay. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. We've talked about this a bunch, because we talked about hard work, we've talked about laziness. But the labor of the righteous adds so much more to life than just a paycheck. There's so much involved in working hard, in getting honest gain, in taking care of your family, being able to help those in need, learning to work with others. All of the stuff that's wrapped up in hard work, God blesses. The wages of the wicked just leads to more sin. And by the way, I think people should be careful about what kind of job they get. There's a lot of money to be made in sin, but all it does is spirals deeper and deeper into more sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. That's pretty obvious. Instruction is the way of life. Truth, encouragement, correction, rebukings, warnings, all of these are needed for life. The opposite, he who refuses correction goes astray. All they speak is corruption, gossip, lies, slander, flattery, discouragement. All these things lead to death. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. What does it mean to hide hatred? It's kind of like if someone at work hates the boss, you know, and then the boss comes around and they get a big smile on their face and they're like, hey, boss, how you doing? It's two-faced. It's two-faced. They hate that person, but when they're around, they act like they love them to pieces. That's called lying. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Now, does that mean you should just go around showing how much you hate them? No, but you don't have to be fake. You don't have to be fake about it. And even better than that, you probably should just talk to Jesus about this and get your own heart right so that you can love them without being fake. In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. People who talk too much, they're going to get themselves into trouble. I think about Job and his friends. When Job's friends came the first week, remember? 7 days they sat with him and said nothing. They were the best friends a man could have. And then you got to read through 30 chapters of nonsense when they opened their mouth. They talked way too much. They shouldn't have said anything. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. We talked about that. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many. But fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. He adds no sorrow with it. Love that. When you seek things in the wrong way, you can get those things, but they bring trouble with them. The trouble comes along with it. But when God gives you something, it comes without sorrow. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no, you know, jail time. None of that stuff. God, when he gives you something, it doesn't come with sorrow. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. It used to be that way with me. Just like going to play baseball or play basketball, I couldn't wait to play. It's the same idea with sin. To some people, it's playing. When Moses was on the mountain for 40 days, remember he came down and all the people were debauching themselves? It's the way the Bible says it is they ate and they drank and they rose up to play. Because evil is like sport to a fool. It's just a game. And they're just playing and trying to, conquer as much as they can. As fast as they can. But wise people have pleasure in doing right. This is what the wicked don't understand. That the joy that comes from doing something good. From doing something you know God is pleased with, or actually helping somebody in a way that's meaningful. being there for someone when they need you. Pleasure comes from that. Wicked people think that's foolish. The fear of the wicked will come upon them, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. Here's the thing about wicked people. They can pretend all they want, but they have fears too. They won't tell you they do. They don't believe there's anything to worry about. But they have fears. They think about death. They think about judgment. All these things are written in people's hearts. And the things that they fear, guess what? Those are coming. Also, a person who's walking in sin, he's afraid of getting caught. And guess what? Someday he's going to get caught. It's going to happen. The righteous, we have desires too, and they're going to be granted because our desires are good. We long to have the things that God wants for us. We're looking forward to heaven. We're looking forward to eternal life. We're looking forward to seeing Jesus. Those are righteous desires, and we're going to have those too. The word desire reminded me of something in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." We have desires for something better, and we're going to get those desires met someday. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Jesus talked about this when he talked about what you're building your life on. "He who hears my words and keeps them is like a man who built on a solid foundation. And when the storm comes, his house will stand. The fool, he hears and he doesn't obey. He's like a person who built his house on the sand. And when the storm comes, it'll fall. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." When I was reading, some examples were brought up about this. Some people like Hitler, Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great. Hitler had plans to dominate the world. Killed 6 million Jews and a few million more people than that. But then, at the end of that war, he ended up in a room taking his own life. His plan didn't come to fruition. Julius Caesar was a Roman conqueror. He had conquered 800 cities in his campaign. And then his own best friend stabbed him and killed him. The years of the wicked will be shortened. Wicked and bloodthirsty men, they don't live out half their years, I think the Bible says. Their lives are shortened. "The hope of the righteous will be gladness. The expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright." Just this morning at church, talking to a few people, they're carrying such burdens. And you know, I was listening and I was thinking, where would these guys be if they didn't have the Lord giving them strength, having to carry these burdens? And one person even said to me, I don't think I would be here. But following the Lord, it gives us strength. The promises of God give us hope. The joy of what Christ has already done for us, it keeps us going. Do you believe this statement? If Jesus never did another thing for you, what he already did would be enough. If all Jesus ever did for us was die on the cross and rise from the dead so we could live forever, wouldn't that be enough? Even if life was completely unbearable the rest of the way. The only thing that would keep you going is knowing that when I leave here, I'm going to be in heaven. So I'm going to keep going. The only thing that keeps me going sometimes is just thinking, okay, I'm not doing this alone. I'm not doing this alone. Jesus is going to do something. It's going to work out. I want to see the end. I want to see how this all works out. It gives me strength. The wicked don't have that. "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." Verse 32, "The mouth of the wicked, what is perverse." So the other night when I was preaching, I was in Ecclesiastes talking about the left-handed man. I don't know if you guys were there, all there, but it's just such an odd thing to think about. The wise man's heart is in his right hand, the fool's heart is in his left hand. Just, if you're right-handed and you try to do stuff with your left hand, It just doesn't make any sense. It's awkward, it's weird, and you write a sentence over here with your right hand and then write it again with your left hand, you'll see it doesn't match, right? Well, a fool's heart is in his left hand. And the point is, with verse 32, when he speaks, you can tell. It's way off. It's like you're writing with your left hand. It makes you like raise your eyebrow, like, what? That doesn't make any sense. That's not right. That's how the fool exposes himself with his perverse words. But the wise know what is acceptable. I know we've said things we wish we didn't sometimes, but let's talk about the other side. Isn't it cool when God gives you a word for somebody right at the right moment, the right time? And even you're shocked. Like, wow, I never said that to anybody before. God just gave me that right at the moment. That's how it works. The wise know what is acceptable. All right, I'm done. It's time for a nap. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for your word. And Father, we know that just reading your word has power. Your word, it's alive and powerful. We're taught that. It never returns void. And so I'm just trusting, Father, that you've been speaking to us this morning. And I do pray, Father, you'll give us wisdom to control our mouths and to speak those things that bring life and healing and encouragement. Help us to avoid speaking those things that bring division or harm or pain. Help us to love one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And Father, I pray you'll continue to bless this day. We thank you for the message we've already heard upstairs. I pray you bless this second service and the service tonight. Use them, God, to glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right at the bell.